Good morning. It's Sunday, 31st of January. Our first reading for the day is Exodus 3 and 4. I'm going to read to you some more from Brother Dudley Fifield's book, Glimpses of Glory. This is a continuation of yesterday's reading. For 40 long years Moses remained in the land of Midian. His father-in-law, Jethro, may have been a direct descendant of Abraham through his wife Keturah, and Midian, their son. It is possible, therefore, that he was a worshipper of the one true God, and consequently Moses would have had an affinity with him and with his family. Nevertheless, Moses must still have been waiting for the time when God would send him back to Egypt to deliver his people. We know this because he never truly settled in this land, and when his first son was born, in token of the fact, he called him Gershom, as the AV margin says, a stranger here. It was during these years of waiting that God prepared him for that arduous task that lay before him. If nothing else, he must have learned the quality of patience and the importance of waiting on God for his guidance and instruction. So it was that as he watched the flock of his father-in-law, he saw the bush that burned with fire and was not consumed. The fire represented the presence of God, and out of the bush he spoke to Moses. God said, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." The response of Moses to the divine call is in complete contrast to the bold, assertive man of 40 years before. "Who am I?" he asks, to be given this responsibility. He needs the assurance that God will be with him. And five times in chapter 3 the words, "I have sent thee," are used, emphasising the truth that Moses came not in his own strength, but as the representative of the God of Israel. Perhaps remembering the previous attitude of the people, Moses protests that his people will not believe him or listen to what he has to say, and God graciously gives him three signs to reassure him. Most surprising of all, this man, once mighty in word and deed, once renowned for his eloquence, now claims, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." God appoints Aaron to speak on his behalf. Clearly, it was not Moses who would deliver this people, but the God of Israel. Now, we might infer from Moses' reluctance to undertake the work to which God had called him that he was not really a strong character. That would be a great mistake. His appearances before Pharaoh and his leadership of the children of Israel reveal him to be, the Lord Jesus apart, one of the greatest men in the sight of God who has ever lived. When Aaron and Miriam spoke against him, he had this testimony: "My servant Moses is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold." It is in this context of the rebellious spirit of Aaron and Miriam that Moses is described as very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. His reaction to their jealousy, which we read about in Numbers 12, reflects the true spirit of the man, for he prays to God to heal Miriam of her leprosy. He shows a concern for them both that characterised this period of his life. He bears no resentment, shows no bitterness, but demonstrates a spirit of forgiveness that reveals him as a man who thought nothing of his own glory and importance. His primary concern was for the honour of the God he served and for the welfare of the people that had been entrusted to his care. Moses showed a spirit of patience, tenderness, long-suffering, perseverance and endurance that has surely never been surpassed in any except the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening.